God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. When my wife and I first started traveling years ago, we travel all the time, I never thought about the problems that could come up because of travel. I never thought about the things that could go wrong with my truck or my trailer, etc. Now, over a long experience, I know a lot of things that can go wrong. And I don't worry about it, but there's a reason I know all the things that could go wrong, because in many cases, they have gone wrong. I can think of three times at least in particular where we broke down in the desert. Once in West Texas, far, far from Dallas in the desert. Once in New Mexico and once in California. And that's quite a feeling to be in the desert, to be in the wilderness, to have a problem and not quite be sure what you're going to do. Now, maybe today you feel like you're in a dry spot. Maybe you feel like you're in a desert of sorts. Maybe spiritually, maybe in some other way, but you feel like you're in a desert. Can I just remind you today that being in a desert does not necessarily mean being deserted. You may be in a desert, but God has not deserted you. When God guides, and where God guides, God provides. And that's something that Israel had to learn. Now, not just a man Israel, but a nation Israel. They'd come out of Egypt. God had rescued them from slavery, and now they're in this wilderness wandering. Well, in chapter 17 of Exodus, the Bible says they camped out in a wilderness, and there was no water for the people to drink. Well, that's a big problem. That's a deal breaker. And particularly when you're talking about old and young, and you're talking about a multitude of people. And in consequence of this lack of water, as God guided them, they had a question that I think is probably, in theory, a good question. In verse 7, the last part of that verse, the children of Israel tempted the Lord. They tested God. Now, that's not good. But the question with which they tested him is this: is the Lord among us or not? Now, why did they ask that? Did they ask that when things were serene and things were fine? No, they did not. The fact of the matter is they really hadn't had much time for things to be serene. But they asked the question, is the Lord among us or not? That is the question. The question today is not, am I physically fit? Am I fabulously wealthy? Do I have a lot of friends? Is everything going swimmingly well? The question is God with me or not? Now, unfortunately, sometimes it's hard to imagine the one without the other. It's hard to imagine that God could be with us if we feel like we're in some kind of desert place. Now, I just want to remind you today that if you are following God, don't doubt God's presence. Don't doubt in the darkness what God has shown you in the light. God led them and God was going to provide for them. God led them out of Egypt. God was going to lead them into Canaan. And the same is true generally for you, meaning you're not going to Canaan, but if you're following God, don't doubt God's presence. Why? First of all, in problems, don't doubt God's presence in problems. God is there. They had no water. What did they do? Well, they doubted. They wondered if God was there because of the problems they had. Now, it is not hard to find people who are prospering, even religions who are prospering financially, and people who are prospering financially who may know nothing of God, may not care about God, but are doing well financially. Is that the same as being blessed? When we say, hey, God is really blessing, do we mean, wow, no problems? Or do we mean that God is guiding and we are following? Which is better, to have everything you want, but be far from God, or to be with God in times of need? In chapter 16, verse 3, the Bible is talking about the children of Israel and their hardships, and they said, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Here they were thinking that slavery was better than the freedom they were experiencing because it meant some kind of hardship. In chapter 14, verse 12, the same kind of sentiment. They said, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. In our text, chapter 17, in verse 3, they murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? They thought that following God was not as good as quiet, sure slavery in Egypt. You know, later they said, we remember when we freely ate of the fish and onions in Egypt. Well, first of all, who would miss fish and onions? You know, you might wonder about that. But they said, we freely ate. Well, how misguided could they possibly have been? They didn't do anything freely in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. But friends, sometimes the certainty that slavery provides is preferable in our minds to the uncertainty of the freedom of trusting God. And God led them out of Egypt, led them out of slavery. And I will just say there are some things worse than starving. And one of those things is not following God, not doing what you know to be right right now. You may not know how to interpret the past. You do not know the content of the future, but you can know what is right right now. And Israel was doing right right then, but they doubted God's presence in their problems. Don't do that. They doubted God's presence in their people. That is to say, the people that God was using in their lives. In verse 2, they chided with Moses. They complained to Moses. They argued with Moses. And Moses said, "Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" In verse 3, as we've already read, they said, "Why have you, Moses, brought us up out of Egypt to kill us?" Well, Moses hadn't brought them up. God did through Moses. In chapter 16, verse 2, the Bible says the whole congregation murmured against Moses. And Moses said, you know, when God delivers, you're going to know that the Lord hath brought you out of the land of Egypt. I haven't done this. God did this. And what are we? Who are Moses and Aaron that ye murmur against us? The Lord hears your murmurings against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, he says in Exodus 16:8, but against the Lord. So sometimes we tend to glorify or chide people instead of realizing that they are simply vessels that God is using. Later on in this chapter, Israel faced this problem of water. They later faced an enemy, the people of Amalek. And in both cases, God said, take your rod. Also called the rod of God. Well, the rod wasn't magical. The rod was just a tool in Moses' hands, and Moses was just a tool in God's hands. And friend, I don't know how God is using the people in your life, but don't divorce God from the problems you have and from the people you have. Don't be blind to God's working in your life. Do I know how God's going to use people in your life today? No, I don't, and probably you don't either. And that's why it's easier to complain to people than to cry to God, to appeal to God. But God provided for these people, and God guided these people. In Psalm 105, verse 41, the Bible says, "God opened the rock and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river." The dry place, the desert, became a river. Why? Because it was the place of God's provision, and it was the place of God's provision because it was a place of God's leading. Look, you may feel like you're in a desert place. Being in a desert place is not the same as being deserted. You are not deserted. You are not alone. And if you're following God, don't doubt God's presence in your problems or in your people, because God is at work in your life today.